My name is Bond. James Bond. My instructions were implicit. I was to leave for Jamaica in 2 hours. License to kill.
Welcome to the James Bond Complex. My name is Matt.
My name is Edgar.
And welcome to our first episode. What are we going to discuss mostly?
Well, as for the show itself, we're both Bond fans.
Are we?
I think so. We've had a couple conversations about James Bond.
Where have we met already?
I think you and I were talking right next to George Lazenby.
This never happened to the other fella.
I think you're right.
What? Yeah, that was an interesting day, wasn't it?
That was
a day that we will probably get into in one of these episodes. I think we should probably talk about that one of these days.
Yes, we should.
As for the show, we're both Bond fans. We both enjoy the films, yes, but we also enjoy the novels. So I think the idea here is the novels will be the launching pad for conversations. We'll review the novels. We'll compare the films, see what they changed, what they kept, and we'll take it from there.
Yeah. Eventually, we'll probably have side episodes, discuss news of Bond 25, and any subject that comes to our mind. So that's mostly what the structure of the show is going to be, I guess.
Absolutely. I think it's going to be great fun. It's fun to, as for me, I don't know about you, I have friends that like Bond. I think I'd call them as casual fans. Yeah. But you're one of the few people I know that's like me. You might even be a little bit more insane than me. You've told me some stuff where I was like, whoa, who is this guy? But so it's fun to actually be sitting down and recording stuff with a true diehard Bond fan.
I tend, when I get into a particular thing, I tend to overdo it. And I've told you about my particular James Bond viewing order. So I think I have street creds as a James Bond fan just with that. We'll get into that on another episode, of course. I think we should discuss our fandom and how we became infected with this condition called the James Bond complex.
Why do we have the James Bond complex? First of all, I don't regret it. I feel incredibly healthy, perfectly sane. If I were to start, when you listen to podcasts or you meet some James Bond fans and blogs, a lot of people say, oh, my dad introduced me to Bond. My dad introduced me to, which makes sense. It's a very, sure we'll get into this at some point, but it's a very manly series. It's actually my mother that introduced me to Bond. Yeah, I know, plot twist. And her favorite film was Octopussy.
That's my little Octopussy.
This is, you know, over 20 years ago, so I don't remember all the details of that afternoon, but I certainly do remember it affected me in a particular way. You know, when you're 9 or 10, you're watching Transformers, you're watching Ninja Turtles. I'm giving away that I'm a child of the 80s here. So, of course, I love those things, but certainly James Bond, while not understanding all the double entendres and the sexual undertones and some of the jokes, there was still a certain aura about that film and about Roger Moore's James Bond that really captivated me. I'm sure in some way the women in that movie captivated me as well, even though I was a young lad. But it did, and so that was sort of the spark plug, if you will, and it really went from there. My mother rented me a few more of them. My dad would rent a few more. And I think the first one I saw in cinemas was with my dad, so I guess things got back to what most people would expect, and it was GoldenEye.
I want you to find GoldenEye. Find who took it, what they plan to do with it, and stop it.
And that was a great experience. I still remember that experience very, very well. That was a major point, turning point in my James Bond fandom to see James Bond on the big screen. Personally, I think GoldenEye is a great film too, so that obviously helped. I would say maybe it took a little bit of a dip around the time of Die Another Day.
So you live to die another day.
Not for maybe some of the obvious reasons, because I was doing other things in my life, but come Casino Royale, it came back. And since Casino Royale, it's been back in full force, as I'm sure the listeners will discover when we go along in these shows. But I've been blabbering for a good few minutes. Matthew, please enlighten us. What's your history?
My first movie that I saw in theater was also GoldenEye. When I reached the age that I could see a Bond picture, there was none. Came aware of Bond just time that they were releasing License to Kill on PTV.
Yeah, pay-per-view and all that stuff. Yeah.
We're based in Canada. They had this channel, Canada Famille.
Oh, yeah.
When they stopped playing shows, they aired clips of movies playing the introduction of License to Kill. So they played part of the movie where, what's his name?
James Bond, I think, is his name.
No, the villain.
Oh, Sanchez.
Sanchez.
Killing me won't stop anything, Sanchez. See you in hell.
goes to meet you see that's with I don't remember the lead villain, but I remember the name of the actress that plays the lead villain. Her name is Talisa Soto.
Yeah,
she plays Kitana in the Mortal Kombat movies.
That's true, she does.
I know.
I got her. Oh, that there's a reason to rewatch Mortal Kombat.
I remember the scene where he goes to meet her, he kills her husband, and I remember feeling like, oh my god, that's terrible.
Because she wants his heart.
What did he promise you? His heart. Give her his heart.
I remember him, his corpse with his chest open, but I probably imagined that as a kid. So to me, License to Kill was super brutal, and I probably caught glimpses here and there of You Only Live Twice, a Roger Moore movie on TV. I remember the James Bond Jr. cartoon. It did its job. It introduced me to James Bond in a way, but it was James Bond Jr.
He learned the game from his uncle James. James Bond Jr. chases
Gold around the world. Yeah. Oh my god. Yeah, when GoldenEye came out, I got into it full force, but played the video games also. I mean, the GoldenEye video game had major influence on fandom. Sure. Can't discuss James Bond as a kid from the 80s without mentioning that game. It's a classic.
That's actually a good point. That is definitely something I play quite a bit. And certainly amongst me and my friends wasted many hours, four of us, at anybody's house, even if they didn't have a Super Nintendo. It was the Nintendo 64, excuse me. Well, the friend would bring over the Nintendo 64, and we'd go crazy for the proximity mines, baby. That's where it was at, proximity mines.
Golden gun.
Two lasers, double-handed laser. Oh, double-wielding laser guns. Whew, that's good stuff. Moonraker, baby, classic.
It's a fantastic game. I've played the Wii version they remade a few years ago.
I did not.
It's not the same.
No.
It's really because they try to update the content, the storyline itself. So it features Daniel Craig. It's not Pierce Brosnan.
I've heard of that. Yeah.
It's really weird. It's really...
Strange. I'm sure the graphics are fine, but that's, isn't that also part of, in a odd way, I guess there's nostalgia that plays in. Because I actually did play some GoldenEye earlier this year at a friend's place through what do they call those things, where you download a program from the internet and it allows you to play like
an emulator.
An emulator, there you go, thank you. And via an emulator, we actually played a little bit of GoldenEye. By today's standards, the graphics are terrible. But it's also still kind of charming in a funny way.
It's part of the experience.
Yeah, it is. It is. So general, you know, history and background on us as Bond fans, would you say you have like particular highlights as to your favorite actor, your favorite film, era? Do you maybe gravitate to one type of Bond more than any other?
When it comes to favorite Bond actor, my favorite portrayal, it's not, the movies he made are not my favorites, even though I love I think I'm spoiling it. My favorite Bond actor is Timothy Dalton.
TD.
Bond, James Bond.
I feel his interpretation is the closest to Fleming we ever had, even more perhaps than Daniel Craig, because I feel his Bond is, he's not as human. Like he's, I don't know, there's a humanity and a way that Timothy Dalton acts that Daniel Craig does his best to go in the same vein. I think Dalton did a better job, in my personal opinion, but he only did it twice, so it's hard to...
Well, I mean, it's an interesting pick. It's true, you don't hear that pick often. But it's an interesting pick. I agree, there isn't a single actor that played the role that I don't like. I love pretty much all of them from the bottom of my heart. I guess I don't think I can really, I'm going to cheat. I was honest with myself. I arrived at the only conclusion, the only answer I can give really is, I guess, you know, whatever the hell the last movie I watched, I'm sort of in that mood. I mean, obviously for an episode we'll be doing very shortly where we'll be talking about the first book and therefore the Casino Royale. I'm in a Daniel Craig mood of things. But if I watch License to Kill tonight, tomorrow morning going to work, I'm going to be pissed off and super aggressive. You know, it's sort of whatever last one I watched. But certainly, you know, obviously the dearly departed Roger Moore will maybe have an extra special place in my heart just because, you know, Octopussy was the first one. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to think if I were an actor in an alternate universe and either I was English or I could pull off An accent.
I'm not even going to try.
There is absolutely no question. Everybody would like to be Daniel. Everybody would like to be Sean. Maybe some of us want to be TD. But I have to be true to myself. There's no question. I would play him like Roger. I wouldn't be able to play him any other way. So,
can you do the eyebrow thing?
But of course.
Of course.
Since we'll be concentrating a decent amount on the books as until we have no more to talk about.
I think we'll always have more to talk about because even when we ran out of books, the original Flemings, they have book adaptations that we can go into.
That's very true. That's true. I think a good handful of the films have
all the Brosnan ones.
I think all the Brosnans, the Craigs don't, but I know some of the Roger Moore. I think there's a because The Spy Who Loved Me, the book, is so different from The Spy Who Loved Me, the film. I think Moonraker also. Does Moonraker have its...
Yeah, I think there's James Bond and the Moonraker by the... I don't remember the gentleman's name, but the man who wrote the script for both those films did the book adaptation.
Interesting. See, I didn't know that. And that, listeners, is part of the fun of the show. We'll both be learning as we go along. I did not know that. That's interesting. But I know there were novelizations for those
movies.
Yes,
they'll be troublesome to get. I'll find a cheaper copy because I saw a $300 copy. I'm like,
really? You didn't? Yeah. You didn't do a one-click purchase on Amazon there?
No.
It's funny. We were talking the other day over Facebook about actually the book is on the table right now about.
I'll pick it up.
Yeah, Ian Fleming. What the hell is the name of this? James Bond, The Man and His World by Henry Chancellor, the official companion to Ian Fleming's creation, a book I had flipped through in the past many moons ago. Very happy to learn that Matthew had a copy. And
now you want one.
I want your copy. and some of these people are selling it for just the most maddening prices on
it's never Amazon. As far as I know, they never reprinted it. They printed it, let me see. I think it's around the time Casino Royale came out. Let me see. I can't see. And my copy's beaten up.
Yeah, I can see the...
I bought it secondhand. I didn't pay much, but it's beaten up. It's 2005, so it came out a year before Casino Royale, but it's fantastic. It's a gorgeous book, and it really deconstructs the novel in a way that's fascinating and intertwines Fleming's existence. It's a great read.
Yeah, no doubt. Again, I remember when you pulled that out of your bag when we spoke about a month ago, and it immediately rang a bell because I remember having flipped through those pages. Why did I not buy the book? There's no rhyme or reason as to why I didn't buy the book back then. But yeah, you're right. It's a little bit tough to find.
Yeah.
And I think you have a nice card cover version. I think there's some soft cover versions for a few bucks.
I need to find somebody to fix it. And
You should, because it's a really nice book. Certainly when it's closed and shut, it looks amazing.
When you open it and you see that, it's the cover and the book are not attached anymore, it's a little bit sad, but...
Try to return it in pristine order, 007, please.
I will next time. Yeah, no, it's a fantastic read, and I'm using it for my research when rereading the novels, because I've read all the novels at least once, some of them more than once. I read Casino Royale, I think, 3 or 4 times. Even then, I wouldn't say I know it by heart. It's a great book, and I was fortunate enough to read it before seeing the movie, because I think it would have forever changed my perception of the movie and book.
Interesting.
I think I read it in January of 2006, and the movie came out in November.
That autumn, yeah. Oh, that's interesting. I came to the books long after I came to the films. Going back to what I was saying earlier, Casino Royale, that 2006, such a breath of fresh air, especially after Die Another Day, that it really got me back into Bond fandom, and it stuck around. One of the things it led to was reading the book. So I had actually read, late 2006, bleeding into 2007, I'd actually never read any of the novels. Yeah, so I think it must have been 2007, and there are a lot of them. Maybe it took me until 2008, possibly. But yeah, it was at that period that I read them for the first time. Casino Royale is a fairly quick read. It's also a very entertaining read, so it's the one I've read the most. We read it for what we're about to do in the next episode. Maybe the fourth or fifth time I've read it. But there are other ones I've only read once, so that's sort of weird. Like, I know Casino Royale by now fairly well, the book. I know it fairly well. Do I know The Man with the Golden Gun fairly well? Not really.
Not really.
And small confession, The Spy Who Loved Me, which is, when we get to that episode, it's a very unique book for several reasons. I've actually only read it in part. So that's the one Fleming novel I have not read from front to back, actually. I'm very excited for that episode because I don't fully know what I'm getting myself into. I have an idea, though, but...
It's a process. It's different. It's really... There's not much about Bond in that novel.
So I've heard. So, and the few passages I read, I was like, well, when's James Bond showing now? Where is he?
It is it's a very odd book. I'll just say that. I'll keep my thoughts for myself for that episode in particular, but it's special read. From the ones you've completely read through, which one is your favorite?
That is a good question. Two come to mind. I'm a big, big fan of Moonraker, which is kind of odd because he stays in England in Moonraker. He does actually...
You're kidding, right? That's your favorite?
Are you asking about the films or the...
The book.
The books, yeah.
So is mine.
Really?
Really.
Hey, high five. That's right. That's what I'm talking about.
We're going to start a Moonraker fan club.
Yeah, well, we were going to do Casino Royale this afternoon, but at this point, like, why bother? We were just going to Moonraker now.
No, but I'm surprised because...
Yeah, I like the story a lot. I like the villain a lot, actually.
Yeah, the villain's great.
The Hugo Drax of the book, although Hugo Drax of the movie is a lot of fun too, but the Hugo Drax in the book is very, very interesting. It has a lot of the Nazis have not been fully defeated. There are sleeper cell Nazis in England in the Moonraker book. I like his plan, and it's just weird. It's only the third book. So it's not as though we've seen Bond do that much globetrotting. But I guess because if you're familiar with the phenomenon that is Bond, it's odd to read a book where he just stays in England for the whole time. Bond Girl is really interesting. In fact, the end, we won't spoil it. We'll get to that episode in a few weeks, I guess. But the end of that book is very interesting as far as what happens with the Bond Girl. He sort of goes undercover through the whole story. And I think that's a lot of fun. Why is it your favorite?
When I read the books, that particular book was the closest one to what I expected them to be, which is closer to the movies. The villain has a crazy plot.
Yeah, it's kind of retarded.
It is. It's a crazy...
But we love retarded in Bond.
You know.
Retarded is good in Bond.
There's a few good action sequences that I... there's a particular assassination attempt that I enjoyed really in the novel. So it's the villain that makes or breaks a Bond book and probably my favorite of all of them that I read.
As I recall, there's also a slightly different interaction between Bond and M in that one, in the early part of the book, where M sort of asks for Bond's help more on a personal...
Yeah.
Like, it's not a mission. It's like, buddy, I need your help. Bro, can you help a buddy out? It's almost like that. And
yes,
like,
it
that's
is.
That's weird. Like,
it's weird.
But it does make it interesting. Yeah.
I think I know which one is your least favorite.
In the books?
Well, you never finished The Spy Who Loved Me. So
yeah,
by default, it's...
I guess so. Although it was, I suppose so. I guess, but again, it feels cheap to say that because I never finished it. I feel like I should finish it.
If you're not able to finish it, it speaks.
Yeah, it doesn't speak. I'll try to pick one that I have finished. Although again, some of the later ones I've only read once. But I would maybe say, you know, it's funny. I think because the film is so good, I was actually a little bit underwhelmed by Goldfinger the book. It's good, but I think the film is so freaking awesome.
Yeah.
That I finished the book going, well, that was perfectly fine.
I think it's the second book I read. I still like it, but there are some parts which are really underwhelming.
But the treatment of Pussy Galore in the book, this is clearly written by a heterosexual dude in the 50s. Like,
yeah. Well, Fleming was one of a kind.
Oh, and we will broach that topic, I'm sure, on a couple of occasions as we go along in these episodes.
Until recently, I was rereading all the books in order, and I started over again.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
But I was caught at book number 4, and I really... Hey,
Diamonds, right?
Yeah, Diamonds.
But isn't there like a... Spectre's not in it, but doesn't like the word Spectre show up in
there's
some bizarre
a reference
way?
To Spectre.
He must have written that and then like a few years later said, hey, I like that word. I'm going to use that. And Kevin McClory said, I'm going to use that too.
Yeah. Oh, and I created it.
Yeah.
The original version of that particular story. They didn't keep much when they did the movie.
No.
And strangely enough, I think the movie's a little bit better than the book.
Really?
Yeah, because the villains themselves are in there.
The mob, right?
It's the mob. Yeah. It feels beneath Bond in a way. Mobsters, it's... read most of it fairly recently, and I can't remember what their plot is. They're just diamond traffic. It's unremarkable.
Didn't he blow somebody up in a helicopter at the end? That's kind of cool. He takes a rocket. Am I misremembering the end of Diamonds Are Forever? He takes a rocket launcher and...
I didn't reach that part, and I don't remember. It's okay. Been a while since I read that book.
I feel he's in the desert.
It ends in the desert.
He blows something up. I think it's a helicopter, and I think it's with a rocket launcher.
It must be, but I know he gets beaten up by Winton Kidd. He's been beaten up to shit.
Oh, he gets beaten up real good in that one, too.
Gets roughed up a lot.
They do a little jig on good old Jimmy.
But it's unremarkable for me. It's my least favorite.
I'm due to reread and all of this podcast. It's the opportunity to do just that. I do remember enjoying it, though. But it was a long time ago.
Yeah. It's personal taste. I mean, you can expect a little bit more structure for the next episodes.
Or not. Who knows? We'll see where this goes.
No, this was a basic introduction.
Yeah, and we should tell the listeners like which MI6 section are we from? We're in section M, I guess, Montreal?
MC?
We're the MCs. We're Montreal, MCs. Canada. Not a city Bond's ever been to, although there are some Canadians.
He was in Montreal.
What? Breaking news, ladies and gentlemen. When was he in Montreal?
He was briefly, not in the movies, but in the book, he was in Montreal in For Your Eyes Only.
Yes, because he's just across the border, isn't he, in that one? Right?
He walks from Montreal to Echo Lake in Vermont.
And he walks from Montreal to Echo Lake in Vermont. What a pleasant stroll.
That's how it's described in the book.
Well, I guess when you eat all those eggs and smoke all those cigarettes, you got to stay healthy one way or another.
Oh, God. 70 cigarettes per day? Yay.
Oh, yeah. That was... I always forget that line in Casino Royale. Ugh. I always forget it. Ugh. So, we are the Canadian connection. If there are any of you out there from this land, this city, this province, we'll stay in touch, hopefully. I don't know that. I know there's a JamesBondCanada.com.
Yeah, but I think he's based mostly in the West.
I think so, too. I think he's in British Columbia. And it's a nice-looking website, but it's maybe not updated regularly. So that's like, I don't really know any others. It's a lot of American, British, and I know we've talked about the one French, like Français de France podcast we've heard of. That's it. Like, I don't know anything from Canada about this. No. So maybe we'll start something.
We'll light the fire.
Exactly. With the smoking gun, the smoking Walther PPK, maybe.
So if you want to get in touch with us, thejamesbondcomplex.com. And we're going to have eventually a Twitter and a Facebook. And
Where can people find us for the moment individually online, Matthew?
I think it's Matt O'Claire on Twitter.
I'm on Twitter at @OH_pop. So it reads OOPOP. That's sort of a dead giveaway about what I tweet about most often. Maybe not exclusively, but 90% of the content is James Bond related. So...
The James Bond complex will return in Casino Royale 1953.
Beautiful.
I know. Later.
Take care. À la prochaine.
Au revoir.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.